You are.
We answered. We're back again. We're reacting. We're telling the people the truth about the influencers. And this week, we've got one that I know nothing about.
I know zero.
Oh, amazing. We're starting. So it's not like a Gary Vee, Grant Cardone, Andy Elliott. We kind of know a bit about them. This is one that we really know nothing about. What's this guy called?
Luke Belmar. I think he falls into... I can't say I know nothing about him because that would be a lie. Like, I've definitely heard his name. And when you think of sales gurus, he comes up. I think his big thing is like talking about how humble and how driven he is. Maybe. I don't know. We're gonna get
what,
into
his thing
it today.
Is I'm driven.
I think his thing is like, I don't need any money.
And what does
just
he sell?
Put me in a cardboard box and I'll do it. But I've definitely seen clips. There's some clips that you might have seen where he's like antagonizing women around the table with a podcast.
He's one of those guys.
One of those guys.
All right. What have you got for me?
But I just think, like, let's look. We asked ChatGPT, who are the biggest sales gurus? Luke Belmar came up. So I think, like, let's just give him the benefit of the doubt. You know what? I've not watched any of these. So maybe we'll just like him.
I'm going to open-minded. How about that?
Okay. Thanks for once in your life. Anyway, let me share my screen. And this first one is called, let's get it up, let it up. You should read books that give you an advantage. So reading for advantage, not for pleasure.
Right.
Because I know so many people read for pleasure. Let's have a little look.
No offense, right? If everybody's out here reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, what advantage do you have? If everybody's reading How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, which is a great book, but what advantage do you have? So you need to be able to acquire information and knowledge to be able to set it apart. And that means that you have to explore for that information, like a library. No offense, right?
Not another one of these guys, but it doesn't make any sense again.
You know what I've seen, right? Going aside, the reason these guys blow up, have you seen like they're always like Luke Belmar community, Luke Belmar clips, Luke Belmar's nan or whatever are all sharing clips of him. Okay, they're all just like,
yeah, that's
sharing.
That's a Andrew Tate method, don't it?
Yeah, yeah, and I mean it works. Like he's viral. Like we know of Luke Belmar. The advice. I don't get the advice because obviously there's a reason best-selling books are good. Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. Is it what you right? Based on that, yeah, it's not actually about knowledge. We should all acquire totally different extremes of knowledge, and then that sets you apart. But actually, there are fundamental things that are beneficial for us all to know as tribal society. We operate as part of a society. We don't operate as individuals, do we?
It's just so Luke Belmar's advice is don't read good books that we know have knowledge in them. Go to a library and find books that not everyone else knows.
Doesn't make sense. It's actually bad advice.
A library's still a thing. I don't even have a library card. But what I do want to know is I want to know his take on the 9-to-5 job role. Because, like Dolly Parton said, what a way to make a living. Luke Belmar, community, 9-to-5.
9-to-5, which is pretty fair if you want to work a 9-to-5 in your entrepreneurial job because you want to balance it out with other areas of your life. Let's say you work 40 hours a week and you work 50 weeks out of the year, right? If you break down how much you'd be making per hour, that is $500. $500 per hour if you were to work a 40-hour work week for 50 weeks in a year. So the question is, at $500 an hour, should you be washing dishes? If your time's worth $500 an hour, should you be answering bullshit emails or booking your own flight? Now, let's say you work a 9-to-5.
But the thing is, these
really
aren't even podcast clips that are taken out of context. These are like, he sat down to the camera and said that. I don't understand where the $500 come from. At no point did you say the monthly salary, but I watched the video about four times to see if I've missed anything. Right, okay. So the guy's done a really bad job of clipping it up. And I think the message that he's trying to say is, and I think it comes down to, I've heard Naval say this, and I get the idea of it. The premise is, if you are, I think Naval said it once, that like if your hourly salary is like £100 an hour, and you've got to return a shirt that's £30, well, why would you do that? So it's taking that. I get what he's doing.
I've heard that thing of like, I don't remember who said it. I thought it was a bit mad as well. It was like, there's £1 million that you want to make a year. How much do you make now? And they write on a board and they take it away. And they're like, what you're left with, that's how much it's costing you to not be a millionaire. It's just a stretch, isn't it? It's just such a mad stretch to think, like, people go, like, fucking hell, oh my God, I didn't ever think of it like that before. I should be thinking I'm worth £500 an hour.
You can say, what I'm really, really learning and what I'm trying to instill in my own life is if you say anything with confidence, people will believe you and say, yeah, that's good. That's really strong. And obviously, like, look, Luke. Luke Belmar's obviously done well. He's obviously made his money. But I see a lot of these guys that do, like, is it like click funnels? And they make money through, they create a funnel and then they sell that funnel to course and stuff like that. Like, Warren Buffett wasn't out there selling a course, was he? Like, he was writing a book and, like, just doing the bit. And
he was doing there's the always bit. A bit of like... I actually saw a good post from Eddie, who runs Ministry of Work in Manchester before, basically saying, like, here's what I did, here's the exit I got, and how weird. Didn't hear anything about all the other bullshit you hear from everyone else about the grind and the hustle and da-da-da-da, because I was actually just focused on just doing the bit.
No, I know, and we have periods, if we're honest, like periods where we'll work Saturday, Sunday, and like there'll be points where you're thinking about the business nonstop. But then also a lot of periods where, well, actually the phone goes off on a Saturday and a Sunday and you're spending time with family, because maybe we've got it wrong, and do you know what I mean? Some of these guys, like, you've got to be hustling 20-hour days. I don't think you do.
They never say what it means. What is hustling 20 hours a day? Fucking bullshit. What is it?
Bro, funnels aren't going to set themselves up, are they? Anyway, let's listen to Why Billionaires Love Breakfast.
All right, amazing.
Breakfast is this normal thing that is just everybody has always done, but it's not. Edward Bernay, who's known as the father of propaganda, he created a campaign based off of breakfast. The meat industry came to him and said, hey, we're missing sales on sausages and
bacon. Get Claude up. Get ChatGPT up.
So he created this entire campaign and went to all the medical professionals and said, hey, let's start pushing breakfast being the healthiest, most essential meal of the day. And guess what happened to the sale of bacon and sausages? Skyrocketed. People think that breakfast is this.
I've heard this myth so many times. Is that true?
Would you like to know if it's true?
Yeah, please.
It's not true at all.
Right, go on. Where's breakfast coming? Because breakfast means to break a fast.
Edward Bernay did not invent breakfast, right? But he did play a major role in shaping modern ideas about what breakfast should be in the United States. Yes. So we're getting quite small now. He didn't invent it, and he was only impactful in the United States. He was hired by a company called Beech Nut Packing Company to help boost the sales of bacon. So he started a campaign called The Hearty Breakfast, which was how you could have eggs and bacon, right? Now let's take that. How long have people been having eggs and bacon for breakfast? Centuries. Right? So people, the earliest days of people doing this are anywhere from the ancient period to the 1700s. They can't be 100% accurate. So the issue is, what you just said, putting out very confident information as a fact, again, has been the issue. So Edward Bernay, very quickly debunked there, did not invent breakfast, but I hope for people who saw that, you figured that out anyway.
I didn't understand, I don't know enough about it to question it, but when he said that Edward Bernay invented propaganda, what do you mean? Because I thought propaganda was what, like, elderly men did in the East End, you know, when they have a propaganda. What's the bit about propaganda from Edward Bernay?
Propaganda?
Yeah, apparently he invented propaganda.
All right, did he invent proper propaganda?
Propaganda.
Edward Bernay did not invent propaganda. The origins of propaganda are there from the ancient period to the 1800s. Binet was, this is actually quite interesting. Binet was the nephew of Sigmund Freud.
Was he?
Yeah. So he did apply some of the psychological principles in his work. That's as much as we've got about propaganda. But where you might be getting this from is in 1928, he did publish a book called Propaganda, arguing that manipulation of public opinion was necessary for democracy, which sounds like a little guy that came a few years after him that was quite controversial, Luke Belmar, who also did something similar.
Right, okay. So that would be like saying that Rory Sutherland invented influence.
Yes, exactly.
Something like that.
We'll stick with that.
Yeah, why not? So obviously, Zach, working in business, you know that the way that you generate most of your leads is from networking. You're a relationship builder through and through as a person. And you, for anybody that's just tuned in, that is not what Zach Thompson is. But networking is a huge part of business, and connecting with the right people can be hard. In this next video, Luke Belmar gives us a video, gives us an explanation on how it's actually easy to network and what you should be doing.
I'm excited. I'm enjoying this guy.
Luke Belmar connects future millionaires.
Oh, this is good.
Luke Belmar HQ, let's go.
We haven't met. Nice to meet you.
Meet you.
Lovely. What do you guys do?
Full-time trading.
Full-time trading?
Yeah.
What markets?
Forex and commodities.
Lovely.
Where's my commodity?
All right. There you go. Connect. All right. Doesn't matter. Connect. Connect. Doesn't matter. Connect. Connect.
All right.
Interact with each other, boys. Come on. We haven't met.
What the fuck was that? I don't understand.
Connect the dots.
If only that was how it worked.
Oh, I don't know.
But what you've got to play out is the outcome of that. It's so awkward.
Not
even asking the next question. The next question, like, where's one area that you're struggling? Where's one area you'd like to see growth? Where's one area you'd like me to help you? Like, not even doing the next bit. Just going like, let's put two people who do a thing in a room together and see if they get on.
Connect. I know that you've been, you messaged me earlier and you said, why did Luke Belmar sell his £4 million house? And I said, I actually don't know. But if you wait for this episode, we might be able to find out.
I did message you that before, didn't I?
And we are, we're ready to find out. We're going to find out why he sold that house.
I had a $4 million house. I got rid of it because it was fucking bullshit. I had a headache every month, pipes breaking. Every month, people in my house, big ass 5,000 square foot house, cleaners every day, gardeners every single week, people in and out of my house. It's not even my house. I'm living in a hotel room and I have people that I don't even know coming in and leaving my house all day long. I'm like, I don't like this. I had a $4 million house. I got rid of it.
You know what I hate, right? I really, really dislike this. I just think like, you've got to be so tactful about what you're saying. You know what I mean? You're trying to influence people and like you're trying to sell stuff, but like to say, oh, I had this £4 million house and it was disgusting. Oh, it was so annoying. It's like first world problems. It's like, you know how, I don't want to be all Gary Economics on you. It's sick, Zach. He's sick dying and he's got a £4 million house. It's sick,
Zach. I'm for Ilford.
It's sick, Dan. Maybe we have to do him next. He might have to be in. Yeah, comment if you want to see Gary Economics next and comment if you don't. What's your take on that?
I try to see the bigger picture of what's really happening there.
Mm.
You're dealing with young people who that's the aspiration, right? To have the £1 million house and the Bugatti and whatever. He's not only said he's done it, he's saying, I did it. And then I moved past it. Now I'm at another level. So it's sort of...
It's probably true, isn't it? I get it. It's probably true what he's saying.
Well, what do you mean? That it's not...
It probably isn't all it's lived up to be.
No, I would agree. I would agree. And you hear that all the time, don't you, from like... Fucking... I heard it from Robbie Williams once, actually. he was talking about on Theo Von's podcast, like, oh, there's just people in the household that I don't always know who they are. So what?
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
I think to moan about it, to use that as currency to entice people, it's just like...
Do you buy it as well?
Yeah. Is it true?
It's a good cover-up, isn't it, for if you've suddenly been exposed by a load of people and the money's gone down, you had to sell your £4 million house to be like, actually, I didn't really need it anyway. It's almost like, childish,
oh, I didn't, right. Okay. That's actually, yeah, I can see why people would think that you're the clever one based on that. No, that's good. That was really good.
Thanks,
why, so this is following on nicely from Grant Cardone. Let's have a look. Why you shouldn't own a private jet.
Is this true? Are you wrong either?
No. Why would I own two heads?
So, let's go back.
They say after 20 million, not that much changes in life unless you want to buy private jet or yacht. Is this true? Are you wrong either?
No. No chance. Why would I own two headaches? So literally I will pay somebody to lend me their headache for a few hours. Rather, money. Just give me a ton of money. I don't need assets. I need to move fast. Move. I need to know the guy that owns 50 jets, that owns 50 things that'll let me use them at cost because I hooked them up with whatever. And I'm his daughter's whatever at their wedding. And I build good relationships and good connections. The entire world is built off of connections and relationships. All these politicians, you know, that are riding around on the people's money, brother. So you don't have to own a jet to ride in one.
Okay, right. Hold that thought, because do you remember last time? Do you remember last time what I did to you?
Found a contradiction.
Do you remember what I did to you? I might do it again to you.
What? It's another one? Called, the same thing?
This one's called... the title of this is called Luke Belmore's The Journey to Private Jets.
Dude, in 10 years, I don't want to be traveling first class. In 10 years, I want to be traveling private jet. In 10 years, I don't want to be in a scenario where I'm networking with guys that are making $500,000 a year. I'm networking with guys that make $50 million a year. I'm not going to shit on what I used to do. It's part of the journey,
true,
brother.
Yeah.
So it's like, dude, I was happy. I've been happy the entire journey.
Yeah. But how was the feeling of you making your first, like, that big money? How'd you make it, and how was the life change?
So the first, dude...
Right. It's just...
So what's true then?
What is true? I mean,
two jets or two helicopters, Grant? I don't know.
Two helicopters.
Amazing. I mean, it's a bit politician for me, some of it. You know, like the answer isn't enough. And this is what you should watch young people who are being influenced by this. Look for people who can answer simple questions with simple answers.
Mm.
You don't want people who get asked, would you ever have a private jet? And they end up talking about how relationships make the world go round. Like, that wasn't the question.
Yeah.
The question
very
was,
politician.
Would you own a private jet? No. Why? Probably a lot of money. I'm probably not there yet.
Yeah, the truth. People like honesty. But it's all a bit of a facade. Look, Luke Belmore, if you're watching, you're probably laughing. Probably thinking, two schmucks from the north of England, you could buy our lives four times. But I think that we as human beings, especially if we are producing content, and I know people are chopping up his bits and putting clips out there, I think you do have a bit of a duty of care as to the information that you put out there for young people.
Yeah.
I don't think he's Andrew Tate-esque, but I think he probably lives in that world. Maybe I'll meet him one day. Maybe we'll have a non-alcoholic beer and it'd be lovely.
I'd be well up for chatting to some of these people.
What would you say? What would be your first question?
To Luke Belmore?
Yeah.
I'd probably pick something and really like latch onto it. Something like, what is rich?
Mm.
And then just Socratic my way through it.
Yeah. What is rich? Baby, don't hurt me. So Luke Belmore, what's your overall opinion? How are you ending it? What's the feeling in your stomach?
Probably a bit like the Grant Cardone one last week. Like, I'm left sort of thinking, I don't, like, at the start said, I've never heard of him. I don't really get it.
No.
I don't get it.
Did you find out what he sold, what his thing was?
Yeah. He started an entrepreneurial journey with drop shipping and e-commerce, those two.
Yeah.
Experimenting with branded stores, general stores, social media arbitrage. I think that's how you say it. But the real turning point came when he discovered cryptocurrency.
Right. Which
is very interesting wording, isn't it?
He discovered
Luke bought Bitcoin for just a few hundred dollars.
That's going to be it in thousands of years, isn't it? People are going to be quoting Luke Belmar as the guy that founded Bitcoin. I can see it now. Propaganda all over.
This is the wording of some of these things. Discovered Bitcoin. So yeah, that's what you... What about you, mate? What are your thoughts?
I'd have him round for a Sunday roast, but doesn't take a lot to get invited to my house for a Sunday roast.
I'm fascinated. I'm interested. That's what I want. I want to know more about some of these people.
Mm. Who should we do next? That's the question. That is the question.
Put it in the comments.
Put it in the comments. Gary Economics could be fun. Let's see in the comments. I've been Jeff from
Sit Dan. Ilford.
Ilford.
I've been Zach Thompson.